Wishing a warm Mazel Tov to the founder of Torah Chol HaMoed Bochurim program in London and Manchester, Chosan Yitzi Kornbluth, on his marriage to Simchi Turner, Chof Beis Adar Beis, Monday 24th of March, Yehirotzo Chivnu Beis Nemon B'Yisrael L'Shem L'Silo. Chof Aleph Adar Beis, Sunday the 23rd of March, Rabbi Meir Zev Rappaport, unintentional damage at a wedding.
Morning. Birshus. Kol HaKol HaKodesh Hazeh. Shaila, if somebody's dancing at a wedding and he's being the Sameach Chosan V'Kala, it's a time of joy, it's a mitzvah to Sameach Chosan V'Kala, and during the dancing he inadvertently damages somebody else's property, his clothes, his shoes, or somebody else's goof, somebody else's body. That's a dogma. What's halacha? Is he obligated to pay for it? Because we know that there is a concept that states Odom Mu'ud La'olam, a person, a human being, is always responsible for his actions. Whether he damages on purpose, by mistake, inadvertently, Yosh and awake and sleep, Odom Mu'ud La'olam, a person is always liable for damages. Or do we say, no, in this instance he's not obligated. We'd have to understand why he wouldn't be obligated to pay. What happens if there's a wedding and outside the olim are dancing and there's an innocent bystander who's walking past, has nothing to do with this wedding, nothing to do with the chasna, he's walking down the road minding his own business, and somebody who's involved in this wedding due to the simcha, due to the joy of being the sameichos and the kala, goes and he damages this person who's walking by. What would be in such an instance where the other fellow's not involved at all in the simcha? Is he obligated to pay? Is he not obligated to pay? This shaila turns up because we had last week in Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi last week we had a Mishnah. Let's have a look at the Mishnah we've got in front of us here. Hopefully you've all got. If not, those who don't have maybe can share. The Mishnah said, Mishnah says, in Sukkah Daf Mem Hei Umad Aleph, in Daf Yomi last week, the Mishnah discusses the ceremony, the procedure that takes place in the Beis HaMikdosh on Hoshana Rabbah, on the last day when we shake Lulav and Esrog. Says the Mishnah finishes off and it says, Miyad tinoikes shointemes lulaveyem v'oichlim esrigeyhem. What does the word Miyad mean? Straight away. Anyone disagree? Oh, so there's a machloikus rishonim. What does the word miyad mean? Rashi, Toisvus and the Rosh, we can have a look in the paper over here. It says miyad means immediately. Immediately, straight after the ceremony, miyad, immediately, tinoikos shointemes lulaveihem, the children would pull the lulav out of the bundle, out of the lulav bundle, in order to play with it. It's long, says Toisvus and the Rosh. Says the piece of paper on the second line, quoting Tosis and the Rosh. Why? Why would they pull the lulav out? Lifisha lulav oroich, the lulav is long, v'soichkin boy, and they play with it. V'esrigeyem hoyu oichlin, they would eat their esrig. So the Mishnah is telling us that the minute the Mishnah is over, the children, that's the Gemara says, uch de milsa, that's what children do, the children would pull out the lulav and they would play with it, and they would eat their esrogim. I.e. the Mishnah is telling us there's no problem of huktzah mitzvah. So once the mitzvah is finished, they can. That's what the children would do. So learns Tosfos. So according to Tosfos, there's a comma after the word miyad. Miyad, immediately. Tinoikos, the children themselves would pull the lulav out of the esrog. That's Rashi. That's Tosfos and the Rosh's pshat. So there's nothing we can really use according to Tosfos and the Rosh regarding our shaila. However, Rashi learns a different pshat. Rashi learns miyad tinoikis shointim razvein. There's no comma after miyad, and the word miyad does not mean immediately. The word miyad means from the hands of. Miyad, from the hands of. Says Rashi, miyad tinoikis, from the hands of the children, shointim es lulaveyan, the adults would take the lulavim from the hands of the children, and they would take the esroigim from them. They would snatch the lulav and esrog from the children. Hagdoilim, says Rashi, shointim es lulav yaktanim yodim mishvis. The adults would snatch the lulav of the children from them. Va'oichlem esrogeihem. They would eat the esrogim shel tinoikos. The adults would eat the children's esrogim. Asks Rashi, Ve'im batov eloi mishum gezel. What about gezel? Stealing. And even if you tell me there's no gezel by a child because he doesn't own it, but we know mitrabon is darki sholem. Otherwise, there's efkeris. There should be peace. Darki sholem. People should live with each other. You don't take things off children. That's not a problem. Why? Shekach noagu machmas simcho. For this was a minik, because of the simcho of Eshana Rabbi, it was a time of joy. So people used to do this, they used to snatch the lulav and mesorin for the children, and it seems to have been an accepted minik. It seems to be accepted thing to do. Rashi, in fact, brings a medrash to prove his pshat, that his pshat is correct over and above Tosis' pshat. He says, I've got a proof from a medrash that my pshat is correct, says Rashi, and that miyad doesn't mean immediately the children take it, but miyad means that the adults snatch the astrogim and ulovim from the hands of the children. What's my raya? Says Rashi, the medrash says, in medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Maisa, there was once a story, bechosid echod, with a pious, righteous person, pious individual, shenosan dinar le'oni. He gave from the household funds, from the household kitty, he took a dinar, he took a coin and gave it to a poor man. He didn't have any money and he really wanted to give. So he took the dinar from the money that was set aside for household goods, for household foods, and he gave it to the poor man. Viknitoso yishtoi. Bakumen mamash afen kopf von sein Freu, from his wife. His wife didn't let go. So Viknitoso yishtoi, she was chaperoning him. And she made his life such a misery that Borach, he ran away. He ran away from home. He couldn't take it, couldn't handle it. He had nothing to live off. He had nothing to support himself with. What happened was, Bishvi Shalarova, says the Medrash, on the seventh day of Eshana Rabba, Holach he went, Veshomat Esroigin Miyad HaTinoikos. He snatched the Esroigin from the hands of the Tinoikos and he kept them. Kedetanan, how could he do that? Says the Medrash. Like the Mishnah says, Miyadat Yinoikis Shointim, it's the Lulavayim, that one snatches the Lulavim and Estragim, one can snatch the Lulavim and Estragim from the hands of the children. He went onto a ship and he traveled to a different town, to a different city, to a different country, Derech Krach Echot. And then an announcement went out in this country that Hutzruch Lebeis HaMelech Lesregeyem de Mitzvah Lerefuah, that the king needed for medicinal purposes. He needed not just esroigim, but he needed esroigim mitzvah for medicinal purposes. So, he sold them for a very princely sum. He proffered them to the king's palace, and he received a princely sum for it. And Chozal Ebeisa, he returned home with plenty of funds to give over to his wife, and they lived happily ever after. So says the story, and so says the Bereishis Rabbah. Says Rashi, it's the chalai for medrash. It's the chalai for medrash that pshat in the Mishnah is that one would snatch the esrogim from the children. And as Rashi says, that there's no problem with this because shekach nohagu machmas simcha. This seems to be the minig. This was the minig due to the joy of Eshana Rabbah that they did this. Says Tosfos and the Modcha. Tosfos and the Modcha say, and we have it here on the piece of paper, the last paragraph before the dotted line, they say, based on this Rashi's pshat, says the Modcha, and Tosfos brings this also. Says Tosfos, Yesh lilmoid mikan. From here we can learn, lo oisam bachurim, to those bochrim, sharoichvim besusim, who ride their horses, likras chosn, towards the chosn, venilchomim zeim ze. While they're riding their horses towards the chosn, they fight with each other. The koirin bigdoy shel chaveiroi. One tears the clothes from his friend who's also riding the horse, or alternatively, mekalke loy susoi. They damage the other person's horse. Shem pturim, they're potter. Why? Because kach noagu machmas simchas chosn. Because that was the minig due to the simchas chosn. So Tosfos shtels zu, the Modcha shtels zu, Rashi's pshat in the Mishnah. And he says, Huadin, if the Bochum are riding their horses towards the Chosn, and due to the joy and celebration of the mitzvah of Simchas Chosn Vekalo, while they're riding the horses, they tear each other's clothes, or they damage one another's horses. They're not doing it on purpose. But in such an instance, they are not liable to pay, because this was the meaning, due to the Simchas Chosn, due to the joy and celebration of the Chosn. So say the Rishonim. Comes along the Ramah, comes along the Rimmel in Hilchas Purim, and he says that in Tof Reish Tzadi Hei, in Hilchas Purim, see Hilchas Megillah, Seif Beis, says the Rimmel, and he paskens, the Yesh Oimrim, there are those who say, Dim Hizik Echod Eschaveiroi, Mikoyach Simchas Purim, if a person damaged his friend due to the joy of Purim, Potem Ineshalim, he doesn't have to pay. It's a Yesh Oimrim, so says the Rimmel. Now, where's the Ramah's source for this halacha? The Ramah's source is actually Beis Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Kairo doesn't bring it in Shulchan Aruch, but in Hilchas Purim, but the Beis Yosef brings it, and the Beis Yosef is actually quoting a Trumas Hadeshen. The Beis Yosef quotes a Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen brings B'Shem Motzosi Huatak Tshuva, because I found a copy of a Tshuva, of a certain Tshuva, and in that Tshuva was written that Shomati Me'arav Reb Tuvia, I heard from Arav Reb Tuvia, Mistama Reb Tuvia from Veen, Orishan, B'Shem Rivo. So the Ramah is quoting this, B'Shem the Beis Yosef, who's quoting this, B'Shem the Tzimis Hadeshen, who's quoting this, that he found it in a Tshuva Achas, who says he heard, who writes that, this Tshuva Achas writes, he heard from Reb Tuvia in the name of the Rivo. So it traces back all the way to the Rivo. And what does the Rivo say? The Rivo says that Kol Maicho, any food, Shaloikhim Abachurim Zemizeh, that the Bochrum take one from another, afilu shaloi birshus, even if it's without permission, mishum simchas Purim, due to the joy of Purim. Another nusach is kol machol shechoitfim, that they snatch one from the other. Ein bohem mishum gneiva, loy mishum gzeila. There's no problem of gneiva, and there's no problem mishum gzeila. So says the Rivo, and that's where the Ramah gets from, that if a person damages his friends due to the simcha of Purim, then he's potter from pay. Furthermore, we have now on a piece of paper here, we have another Ramah in Hilchas Choshen Mishpat. In Hilchas Choshen Mishpat, Simin Shin Ein Ches, Siftes, the Ramah quotes the Toisvus and the Malcha that we just mentioned. The Ramah Paskin says, Alach Olamessa brings down, Bachurim Haroichvim Likras Chosn Vekala, those Bachurim who are riding towards the Chosn Vekala, Vihiziku Zeh Zeh, they damage one another, Momin chaveiroi, the money of their friends, derech simcha v'choik, if it's in a fashion of joy and schoik lebdikait, v'chein b'shar dvar simcha, and in any other matter of simcha, hoyu v'noagu kach, because this seems to be the custom, therefore they are potu. So says the Ramah. But where does the Ramah get this from? Where does the Ramah get this from? So the Ramah actually, In Darkei Moshe, in Shinai Chesin Lichos Moshe Mishpat, where we want to know where the source of Ramah is, you always look back in the tool, Beis Yosef, Darkei Moshe, and you find the sources. So the Darkei Moshe brings down. He brings three sources. Three sources he brings for this halacha in Shinai Ches. The first source he brings down is the Modcha that we quoted, that the Bochrim were riding on a horse towards the Chosin, and they tear each other's clothes, or they damage each other's horses, they are potter, because kach nagu machmas simcha, this is what they were doing due to the simchas chosn. That's the first source he brings, is a motche. The second source he brings down is an agudo, the agudo, a rishi. The agudo writes that bochrim who are playing with each other, bochrim playing, shesolchim zein ze b'shabbos, they're playing on Shabbos, they're playing with each other. So, vehiku zeze, they hit one another. They hit one another. That's what boys do when they play. Im eino mechavnim, if they have no intention to damage pturim, they are potter. Recently, one of my boys was playing with a neighbor, and they were playing pillow fights or something, and he actually broke Yenim's glasses. So, he's chayv and not chayv, not paskening. But bochrim shesolchim zein ze b'shabbos, bochrim were playing with one another, vehiku zeh zeh, and they hit each other. Im eino mechavnim, if there was no intention to damage pturim, they're potter. So says the agudo. That's the second source of the Darkei Moshe. The third source of the Darkei Moshe, a very fascinating source, is a Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen writes about the Din Torah that he had, that Rabbi Elezer Bar Sholem and Rabbi Gershon Bar Sholem both came in front of him to a Din Torah. And Rebbe Elazar Bar Sholem starts shouting and screaming that Rebbe Gershon, during the Hakofis of Hoshanas on Sukkos, they were going around the Hoshanas, and Rebbe Gershon So writes Tzimus Hadeshen, Rebbe Elazar accused Reb Gershon of shoving him during Hoshanas, ad kedei kach, that he broke his shoulder. Broken shoulder is not easy to repair, to heal, and he needed to pay medical expenses, and it cost him. Yeah, it cost him, and he wants compensation for the expenses, and he wants him to pay him. And so Reb Gershon said that he didn't do it on purpose, he did it inadvertently, because that's what happens. Hoshanas lends itself, it's a type of mitzvah, it's a type of ceremony that lends itself sometimes to inadvertent damage in such a fashion. He didn't do it on purpose, he was going, rather than it happened inadvertently. And Reb Elazar ben Shalom shouted and he said, Nishtemes, he did it intentionally, he did it on purpose, because he's already been a son of mine for a year, for 2 years, kama v'kama shonim, he's already been a son of mine, and he did it on purpose. And in fact, Reb Elazar ben Shalom brought along a witness, Eid Echad, who testified that the night before Hoshanas, the night before the Hoshana Rabbah, I'm not sure when it was, the night before, he told him that he's planning on shoving Reb Gershon. He told him he's planning on doing this. He brought an Eid Echad that it wasn't inadvertent, that it was done on purpose. This was the Din Torah that the Tzimus Hadeshen writes about between Reb Elazar ben Reb Shalom and Reb Gershon ben Reb Shalom. What did he pasken? So the Tzimus Hadeshen paskened Halacha lemaisa be'etzem halacha lemaisa. He paskened that he's not he didn't lemaisa, but halachically be'etzem, theoretically he should be potter, because he says there's no clear cut proof that it was done on purpose. Eid echod is not enough to extract funds. You can't be moitzi moment with eid echod. Therefore, there's no halachic basis be'etzem to obligate him to pay, so Yisodi should be potter. Why? Because the presumption is it was an inadvertent damage that took place due to the joy and celebration, to the ceremony that of Hoshanas, that lends itself sometimes to inadvertent damage. However, halacha lemaisa, he obligated him. Why? Because he said that for there was an eid echod, though you can't obligate, but he felt that it was within his powers as a morad asra to obligate him to pay, otherwise it can be afkari, because everybody who's got a cheshbon with somebody else and has got a problem with somebody, then he'll be oirev to a person, he'll start make plans, and when it comes to Simchas Torah, to Hoshanas, to all these things, then he'll go along and he'll damage him. And he says, I didn't do it on purpose. He felt he needed to make some form of statement, and therefore he gave him a knas, and he made him pay two zehuvim to the Beis HaKnesses in Gretz. So he writes, he didn't make him pay the nizak, because he says he wasn't really obligated, but he made him pay a knas, a fine to the Beis HaKnesses in Gretz of two zehuvim, and he made him Shabbos morning come along, I think it was Shabbos morning, and he had to go kval am v'ed in public and say, announce at chotosi l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, I sin to Hashem and to this person, and to ask mechila. That's what he obligated him to do. But be'etzem, shuras hadin, he wouldn't have obligated him, because one is not obligated to pay for inadvertent damage that happens due to the simcha of Hoshanas. This, Trumas Hadeshen, is the third source for the Darkei Moshe. The first source is the Motra about the horses, the Bochum riding the horses. The second source is the Agudo, where the children are playing with each other on Shabbos and they hit each other and damage each other inadvertently. And the third source is this interesting Din Torah of the Trumas Hadeshen. And based on that, the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, in Choshe Mishpat Simin Shin Ayin Ches, writes, and we'll read it again, that second one down, Bochim Aroichim Nikras Choson Vekalo, Viziku Zeze Momin Chaveiru Derech Simcha Veschoik, Vechein Bishalva Simcha Hoil Venoagu Kachturim Vepotem. That's the second Ramo. Now we have a third Ramo. There's a third Ramo. The third Ramo is Vaite in Hilchas Megillah, in Purim. It's in Tofresh Sadi Beis. It's the last Ramo on our page over here. And the Ramo writes, Masha Noagu, first thing he writes is, well, let's read the end. The last bullet point. V'chein, and so too, B'nei Odom ha'choitfim zemizeh, those people who snatch from one another, derech simcha, through a simcha, ein v'zeh mishum lo'yisigzol, there is no problem of stealing, v'noagu kach, that's the minig. U'bilvad, shalo yasu, dovo shalo kehoigein al pituva yir. There's no problem, that was the minig, as long as they don't go against the minig of the Rosh Hashanah, they're allowed to establish rules and regulations, and all there shouldn't be efkerus. But be aside halachadik, there's no chiv. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Does the knas go to the damagee or to the court?
Well, in this instance, He wasn't obligated to pay, really, because, again, this there was no real cut proof that it was done on purpose. The presumption is it was done inadvertently. But he felt, as a Rav, he felt that, so therefore he's not obligated to pay him. He felt that he's got to make a statement in order that there shouldn't be FKRIS around. In this instance, it was paid to the synagogue in Gretz, to the shul, to the Beis HaKnesses of Gretz, in this instance. But halachically, he wouldn't be obligated at all. That's what the Tumas HaLeshen writes. Sorry? Huh? If I show you that Neuchton Tshuva. Because there was a srachi. You had a fault in Eidechod. You have to be lots of Eidechoival. You're not. Sorry? No, he didn't obligate him. You had to be Moichel. He didn't obligate him. That's the Trumas Adeshin. Now, sorry?
He believed the Eidechod.
Huh?
In truth, he believed the Eidechod.
Legaba that, but not Legaba Momonos.
He couldn't pass him. Could
be. A Koponim says this. So where does the Ramon get this from? That people who snatch from one another on Purim, Derech Simcha, because Derech Simcha, there's no problem of Gezel, says the Daki Moshe in Ilchas Megillah, this is a Mari Mintz, who quotes the Bishem, none other than Rivah, the very Rivah we had right in the beginning, that the food that people snatch from one another on Purim, there's no problem with it, there's no problem of Gezel. So these are the three Ramahs that we have with the sources. Now, there is two ways of understanding the reason why there'd be no obligation for such a thing. There would be two reasons to understand it. One way, Terech Hakira, why would one be potter? There's one way. One way we could explain one would be potter is because when two people or more are involved together in a joyful, in a dovel shel simcha, in a celebration, where that type of celebration can lend itself to inadvertent damage, then there's an unspoken agreement, an unspoken understanding between the parties involved that I could damage you and you could damage me, and therefore there's an unspoken agreement that we're moichel one another if such a thing happens. Nothing to do with a mitzvah. It just happens to be that when people are involved in a certain type of action, of activity, which lends itself to inadvertent damage, then there's an unspoken agreement. Look, I could damage you by mistake, you could damage me by mistake. So there's an unspoken agreement, we'll be moichel one another. And it's understandable, that was the meaning, to be moichel one another. So whether it be at a chasana, whether it be at a shanas, whether it be Purim, whether it be dancing towards a chasana, riding horse towards a chasana kala, whether it be boys are playing with each other, football or a pillow fight for that matter, there's an unspoken agreement, you could damage me, I could damage you. It can happen. So just like I would want you to be moichel me, I'm willing to be moichel one another, and that's an unspoken agreement of michila. Sorry.
So if you play football, it's understood this physical contact possibly, and a person could break a leg and get hurt. A person gets a simcha, not to make hafkeris and injure people.
We're not talking about hafkeris. We're talking about if he pushes, you're right. Yeah. And we're not talking about if he pushes. We're not talking about pushing, but if it's within the normal accepted behavior, and it happens inadvertently.
So when you're dancing, you sometimes get kicked off by another group.
That's right. Of course, no one's saying a person shouldn't be careful. A person has to be careful when he dances. No one's excusing anybody. But if something happens inadvertently, and it's clearly established that this wasn't on purpose, it was inadvertent. So there's an unspoken... Sorry?
No one's saying anyone's getting out to that thing. If you've got youngsters who are very vigorous, and you've got older people, and they're being negligent as to what they're doing...
So you're right. Each case... So I'm sure the Ramah's not saying... The Ramah's not saying... The Ramah's obviously not saying that if a person acted negligent, that you are obligated. We're talking shaloi bekavona. It was done inadvertently. He was dancing normally, and it happened. Setzach gemacht. He would never. Yeah, sorry.
The older person in the outer ring. Can I make an observation?
English law, if I'm correct, great observation. English law. I think you can sue them for damages.
Sorry.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. That's one sad to understand. We have only a few minutes left. The other way of understanding, the other way of learning this halacha, would be nothing to do with an unspoken agreement between the two parties. There are certain instances, the other way to understand it is there are certain instances where there is a mitzvah involved, and that type of mitzvah can sometimes inadvertently lend itself to inadvertent damage. And therefore, they didn't need to do that. They abolished it in there, So therefore, there are certain types of mitzvahs that can lend itself to inadvertent damage. And therefore, Chazal felt that where the performance of the mitzvah would be inhibited, therefore, Chazal, with the powers that they have, felt that when it comes to a simcha shel mitzvah, and it's done inadvertently, then in such an instance, Chazal, mikoyach hefke bezdin hefke, mikoyach the powers that bezdin have to requisition property or money from a person, they have it within their powers to patter a person who damaged inadvertently. Therefore, because the Simcha Purim can sometimes lend itself, in order not to inhibit the true performance of the mitzvah, or Simchas Chosn Vekala, or Ishanas, in these instances, Chazal gave a ptur, nothing to do with Mechila. Nafkemina. Where could there be a Nafkemina between the two Mahalchim? Nafkemina could be what happens if, for example,
the passerby.
The case we started off earlier, the first shayla we asked. What happens if one person is involved in the simcha, but the other person's an innocent passerby? He's passerby, he has nothing to do with the simcha. So if pshat is that when people are involved in another, there's an unspoken agreement to be moichel one another, according to the first tzad, then there is no spoken agreement over here. I have nothing to do with simcha, I walked past it, what's it got to do with me? You're obligated to pay for me. But if pshat is that Chazal gave a ptur with a simcha shel mitzvah that inadvertent damages potur, so in this instance one would also be potur. Another possible nafkemina would be what happens if it's Purim for one person, but it's not Purim for the other person. For example, somebody from Yerushalayim is in Bnei Brak, or somebody in Bnei Brak is in Yerushalayim. I don't know what will happen if he's in Ramot. There's a dispute. But if somebody's bringing it back in Yerushalayim, so for one it's Purim, for other one's not Purim. So if we go with the first, so that it's an unspoken agreement between the two parties, that when they together are involved in a simcha, so they're moichel one another, then if for one it's not Purim, then they need to be chayav to pay. For me, why do I have to suffer? Because it's Purim for you. I never had any unspoken agreement. We're not involved together. I'm an innocent bystander. But if you go with the other ma'alik, that Chazal made a ptur, when it comes to these instances, then in such an instance, he would still be potter, because fault, it's for him, it's Purim, and therefore Chazal patted this person. Do we have
territory where you know it's going to happen?
Sorry? Each case would have to be dan negufoy. Was it that he went into his territory, or was it that he suddenly turned up from nowhere? I'll call upon him. Do we have any sources for one mahalach or the other? So if you look in the Agudah, the case of the Agudah is nothing to do with the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The Agudah's case is nothing to do with the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The Agudah says that if children are playing on Shabbos with one another and they damage one another, that's nothing to do with the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Yet, they're still potter. The Ramah, the second Ramah we had, he says, V'chein b'shar dvar simcha. In any matter of simcha, he doesn't say it's got to be a simcha shel mitzvah. In any matter of simcha, there seems to be an unspoken agreement. But there is a source to say, like the second tzad, that there's a musuk of hefke bezdin hefke here. And that source comes from the halacha that we find, we'll finish off with this, that the Ramah writes, if we look at the last Ramah on the page over here, that which we find a meaning that people wear masks, and it seems to be that gever loivish nashisa, that a man wears woman's clothing or a woman wears a man's clothing. There's no issa badova, there's no problem, says the Ramah. I'm not saying alocha lemaisa, I'm just saying the Ramah. Ma'achashe'ei mechavnin ela b'simcha ba'alma. They don't mean to be over loisilbash, they're just doing it for simcha. Second Ramah, so too, wearing kelaim derabonon. Some say it's no good, but the minig is kisvar rishona, there's no problem. So the Daki Moshe, when he brings this halacha, he grapples to find the source of the heter to be over on Loisilbash and to be over on Kelaim de Rabbonon. And he brings the Mari Mintz, who says that based on the Rivah, which is the first source we quoted, that when people snatch from one another on Purim, and they don't mean to do it, they only do it L'Shem Simcha, there's no problem of Gezel. So we see that when it comes to Purim, where there's no intention, one is potter. So too with Kilayim, when there's no intention, it's fine. So too with the Loisilbash, when there's no When there's no intention, it's fine. Comes along the Dakavish and brings the Mariberin, who says, Korotagarala Minig. He says, it doesn't make sense, this Minig. Vilav Milsi, it doesn't make sense to equate the two. How can you equate a financial Ptur to the Ptur in Isur, of Leisilbash, which is an Isur, or Kelaim Derabonim, which is an Isur? When it comes to financial damage, then we know there's a concept of Michilo. We know there's a concept of Hefker, Bezdin Hefker, where Bezdin have rights to requisition property from a person, money from a person. But when it comes to Isurim, Bezdin don't have powers to remove Isurim. There's an Issur Kelaim. That's the Mariberin's Taina. About Kolponim, what you do see is that the Rivor did equate the two. And even the Mariberin, he didn't like the comparison. But they both seem to learn that the Ptur on Purim is not just a unspoken agreement between two parties where Chazal are not involved, Chachamim are not involved at all. It's like the first tale we have. They seem to understand, like Tzadbeis, that it seems to be a Ptur derabonon, that in instances of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, Chazal patterned, in these instances where the Simcha, the Mitzvah would be inhibited if one would be obligated in such an instance. Therefore, Chazal have powers to be moichel, to be mafkir in such instances. And therefore could also be that even if one party is involved in the mitzvah, the other party is not involved in the mitzvah, could be still potter. All of this was all interesting. It's all halacha, but it's loy lemaisa. The Aruch HaShulchan already writes that atob avon yoseinu harabim over kol simcho, ve'in onu b'madrega, so we're not on the madrega that people should be potter in such an instance, and therefore nobody should take anything halacha lemaisa to patter himself or to do damage inadvertently in such an instance. One should always be wary of causing any damage to anybody else, even shaloi b'kavono, whether it be in a hashanus, whether it be by simchas toyin, in any instance. And if chas v'shalom somebody did cause any damage, he must ask the shayla whether he's obligated to pay. Ad kan for today.